This episode was recorded in May 2020. If you enjoy this podcast, then subscribe to catch all future episodes.
I'm all good, mate. I'm very good. Enjoying myself in this lockdown period with the kids.
What have you been doing?
Just keeping fit, really, and spending a lot of time, obviously, with the family. You know, my three boys are here, so I'm getting out, and we've got the local cricket club across the road, so I've been taking them over there, doing a bit of football training with them as their PE sessions, and just keeping myself sort of ticking over. It's been difficult, obviously, but getting out, doing a few runs, going on a bike ride in the next hour. So just keeping myself sort of active and keeping myself well, really.
Are you one of those naturally fit blokes?
I wouldn't say, well, I'd probably say half naturally fit. But you know, as you know what it's like, Rob, as you get older, you sort of lose that sort of that fitness base and stuff like that. Yeah, and I'm still competitive with myself. I'm trying to work on times and stuff like that. But I've just said to myself, I don't know why I'm, you know, drilling myself into the ground when I'm going out running and trying to beat times. Kind of, well, I'm not doing nothing. I'm not going like I'm going pre-season, back to a pre-season, or I'm doing the marathon or anything like that. So I'm just ticking over, and I'm half fit anyway. So it's that age category comes into play, don't it, where it's it makes it a lot more difficult.
Tell me about it. Yeah, listen, it's Lee Hendry, media star now. It's not Lee Hendry. You've moved on to the second phase of an unbelievable career, because every time I turn on the telly or the radio, you're on it.
I don't know about that. I mean, it's just been a big transition change, really, because I never thought I'd actually get involved in the media side of it. I thought I'd, you know, maybe go into coaching, which I did. I did in the football academy for about 3 or 4 years, and you know, I sort of found myself picking up media bits and bobs, and you know, very fortunate that the guys sort of took me on board, really. And I've slowly got myself in the studio, doing a bit of the studio stuff, doing a bit of Sky News, and then obviously doing the co-commentating, which has been really good. So just adding little strings to my bow, which is, you know, slowly getting there. But it's been really, I mean, I was saying this the other day, it's been the next best thing to actually playing football, really, because you know, it's getting to go to the games. It's getting them still nervous feeling factors as you turn up, knowing that you want to get all your prep right, and you know, the build up throughout the week, getting all your prep and going through the stat packs. It's been good, really good transition. I really enjoyed it.
Do you do much prep for say a co-commentary game? Do you have to?
Yeah, I've got to. You know, people think that you just turn up and you can wing it. I mean, the thing is that you know I've had to learn my trade in so many ways, is that, you know, they love having the ex-footballer on with the so-called knowledge of stuff, but it's going through when you're getting dropped in at a League One, League Two game, which we don't get to see a lot of, really, where I'm having to get on YouTube, getting, you know, the media guys to send me games so I can look at how they play, and, you know, certain players, key players. As you know yourself, it's there's a lot of attention to detail with the games and what goes through the build-ups of games. So the stat packs have been, you know, the guys that provide them have been absolutely magnificent, because, you know, again, the attention to detail of players is very good that you need. So it's a lot of work, but I love it. It's great to just get and see different things. And then obviously when you're doing the Premiership games, it falls easy to get on with, because you've seen a lot of the players and you know a lot of the players, but still have to do your prep. I think the days have gone of people turning up and winging interviews and stuff like that. There's a lot more that goes on in the commentating and the studio stuff.
I agree with you totally. I think, and it's no disrespect, I find it, when I've been back on Sky doing the outside stuff, it's more difficult in League One and League Two because you don't know the players as much. But at the same time, you can do as much prep as you like. When you're doing co-commentary, a lot of it is spontaneous, though, isn't it? You know, you can do as much prep as you like, but if somebody pings one in the top corner for 25 yards, you've got to react, haven't you?
Yeah, you have, and that's the thing. I mean, that point's, you know, so valid, because for all the prep you do, I mean, I over-prep at times, and I've done it, and I've tried different ways how to prep, but You know, I just feel that it, that prep's there just to sort of give you that little bit of a comfort blanket, because, you know, you do go through it a lot. And then when it comes to game day, it's literally, it's instinctive. You know, you see stuff and you say stuff and you're looking at different changes in formation. And like you said, if someone goes and bangs one in the top corner, I get very excited with stuff because I feel like I get involved in the game and the emotion of
brilliant.
Everything, which is
best way.
Which is really
brilliant.
Good, yeah, because you're not preparing yourself to say things; you're saying it how you see it, which is great. And you know, the punters at home do want to see how it's been built up and where the goals comes from. And it's not just, you know, as you know, Rob, it's not just saying, oh, he's bent it in the top corner. It's the movement from players and. Whether defensive errors and stuff like that you do try and have to, you know, put to the people that are watching.
Do you pull your punches in terms of, I can imagine a lot of your peers, a lot of footballers, a lot of ex-footballers are watching you. Has anybody criticised you and said, hey, you shouldn't be saying that? And where do you draw the line?
No, not really. I mean, no doubt they might have run their own personal notes to people, but they haven't told me face to face yet, which I mean, I think the guys at Sky, you know, work with Sean Boyle and Alex Jackson, and if I've said something that maybe I shouldn't have said, or the things that I've maybe, you know, a penalty incident where I've said it's Stonewall, you know, it's just getting the knowledge of you know, it's making mistakes, but it's obviously rectifying them when you go out and do it again, which is, it's a learning curve for everyone, Rob. It really is. And you've been in the industry for years, and you know, I've watched you many a time on Sky and obviously doing the stuff when you was in Dubai. So, you know, you do try and take things, a batch of things off people that you work with and you see that put themselves across. But, you know, most of the time I've had pretty much good feedback. I mean, obviously the Brummie accent's a little bit different as well, because there's not many Brummies on the box. But yeah, it's been great feedback. And you know, I'm all for positives, but I'm all for taking the little criticisms just so I can rectify what I'm doing wrong, because it's vitally important, especially when I come home and I might watch some of the games over, just to see what I can do better. And it's all about improving, Rob. And it's just like me being a footballer. I've always wanted to improve in what I do, yeah, because you want to be the best at it.
Tell me about Harry's Heroes. Did you enjoy it? Have you enjoyed it? It's now that must be the next best thing to be. Well, it's being involved in a team again, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it was. It's absolute. I mean, I'm so excited for it next week. It's going to be absolutely superb, because the show is, I mean, there's lots of mixed emotions in it. You know, as you can imagine, there's personal situations. There's fun, there's laughter, there's the camaraderie in the changing room, there's the old players that, you know, I've looked up to and played with a few and played against. So, listen, that's just like being back in the day and being in the changing room and having the banter on the coach. And, you know, it was a hell of a lot of filming, and it was, we've had such fun. I mean, you'll have to, well, you'll see for yourself some of the things that we got up to.
I can imagine.
Absolutely. I mean, it's almost like a Euro trash with stroke personal development. It's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. I'm looking forward to see how it all folds together, because
brilliant.
Some of the things we did were absolutely brilliant. But like you said, the closest thing that I'm going to get to playing football again.
At the same time, I bet halfway through all the games, they may go, come on in, Bill, lad. You know, Rangers is not going to
win
down the left wing, is he?
Well, that's the thing, and you know, when I got the phone call saying that, because I was on it last year for just the game situation, I got drafted in, and then I got a call saying, you know, would I be interested in being in the whole show? And I was thinking, well, I'm hardly overweight, and I mean, I might have had a few problems in my past, but you know. They said, no, we're not working it on this. We've got it as a different outcome of the show, how it's going to be and stuff. So I said, yeah, I'd love to. You know, and they said that the lads sort of asked who would they prefer to be on. And obviously, I knew a lot of the boys, and they all sort of wanted me on the show. And I think, like you said, I think they needed that little bit of fitness aspect where they sort of made me do a bit of the running and give me the ball at times, which you'll see in a lot of the games. I've certainly put my shift in.
Yeah. I bet. Listen, were you always going to be a footballer? Your dad was a footballer. Was that extra pressure for you, or was that a bonus that he was there to guide you a little bit?
I don't think it was, you know, pressure. I think it was a massive guideline for me. It really was, because, you know, I had obviously cousin John, obviously he played at Middlesbrough and Leeds and Bradford, so we had that football foundation as a family, really. You know, lots of, I mean, my uncles played football at non-league level, so, you know, having my dad there was just a great comfort blanket for me. I never, he never put any pressure on me and never forced me to do anything. He always made me make my own decisions in where I wanted to sign and what I wanted to do, but he was very firm. Scottish man who was brutally firm. When I thought I was good, he thought I was bad, and give me a kick up the backside to sort of ground me and keep me on a good level, which I can't, you know, he was one of the inspirations for me of ended up being a footballer, because lots, all my credit goes to him. You know, obviously my family backing me along the way, but dad always, you know, sort of give me a boot up the arse, even if it was at, you know, 19, 20, 21. He was always on my back, and I appreciate that he did that for me, because, you know, he didn't put any pressure on. He just let me go with the flow and sort of kept me on an even keel where I didn't think I was better than what I was.
Did you ever get the last word with Dean Saunders?
Not a chance. Not a chance. I had a great conversation actually the other day about Dino, because obviously I was a kid sort of in and around the changing room under Big Ron at the time, with, you know, there's him and Daly, and it was the big characters in the changing rooms. And obviously you had to chat the door to go in, and, you know, the old ways of YTS, and Dino and Daly and were absolutely, I was half scared to go in there at times as a kid, because the dodgy bonnets I had the curtains, the curly hair on top, the mop top, they had the works, and guaranteed Dino would absolutely rip us going in there. So it was, there was no chance I was even going to have a conversation with Dino at the time, but I see Dino quite a bit on the golf events, and he's a great guy. I've got to say, he's one of the funniest guys I have ever been around in football, even after football, listening to his after speeches.
He's hilarious.
Oh, he's absolutely, has me in pieces.
To be fair, there were some big characters you played with, and even going as a youth team player, when you look at the likes of, say, Dean Saunders and Andy Townsend, and I guess you cross over with Mark Bosnich and people like that. It was, I bet it was even Gareth Southgate and, God love him, Ugo Ekiog. I mean, I bet that was a tough school.
It was, and I'm very lucky that I got into that circle of them players. You know, you stated there, the Paul McGraths, even the Ray Houghtons. There's so many players that I could reel off, you know, that had so much experience, international experience, you know, top level, top players, when I came into the football, into the squad. And I think, you know, having them players around always kept me on a level. You know, I talk about my dad, but them players always give me a lot of guidance and always, you know, give me the pull back and give me confidence at times when I needed it, put their arm around them. And I don't know if you get that as much in this day and age, Rob, and you know, whether that's just, you know, I'm pretty obvious, it's just the way the game's changed a lot. You know, the whole aspect of on the pitch and off the pitch, you know, people are, well, footballers now are blatant athletes. You know, they can't be seen going out and doing what them boys did. And sometimes, you know, the nights out you have with all the old school boys, you know, you can reminisce and how differently they did it. I mean, Paul McGrath was one that stood out for me. You know, he obviously spoke about how his problems were with drink, and everybody knew what he was about, but my goodness, put a shirt on a Saturday, and he was absolutely, no wonder they called him God, because it was just, I mean, I'm not saying it was an advert for football at all, but it just showed that, you know, he still had that, even though he didn't train with his knee problems and how much he drank at times. But, you know, to have them people around, there was a mixed message of all sorts of camaraderie that went on.
Who's the best manager you played for?
Aston Villa, John Gregory, by a million. I worked with him under the reserve team, under Brian Little, and when JG came back in for Villa, he put me straight in the team, and he got my career, you know, on that track where I wanted to be, straight in the first team. And I was playing, before I knew it, you know, I was playing at Atletico Madrid and, you know, in quarterfinals, the UEFA Cup, you know, at such a young age was a big, you know, a big thing, sells of ego away. And, you know, you just think that he gave me that big confidence lift when he come in, because he'd worked with me and he knew what I was about. And to give me that confidence of sticking me in the team with the players that you've mentioned there, you know, some big, big players, and taking big players out of the equation was a big, big call for him, because a new manager coming in, putting his own philosophy on stuff, you know, there wasn't just me, the likes of Gareth Barry coming at a young age. And I loved it, and it worked so well for John. You know, people always, you either love him or hate him. He's a bit like Marmite, and a lot of the lads said if he was chocolate, he'd eat himself. But that was just John Gregory. I love him. I love his character, and I still speak to him to this day. And I can't thank him enough for pushing me in the right direction. And I do feel that he was the one that pushed me towards my getting my England cap.
How good was Paul Merson?
Super. Super. You know, the players that you always reflect on, for me as a midfield player, is that, you know, I always like to be attack-minded. I like to play on the front foot and I like to play forward. And Merce was just someone that I'd always look at what he did in training, what he did in games was just so different. I mean, I've seen him toe-poke balls 60 yards and not a player move. And who would ever think a player would toe-poke a ball in a Premier League game? Was just, you know, just ironic. But that was just the ability that Merce had. You know, I think, you know, you look back at his Arsenal days of how good he was, and then when he came to Villa, you realised what quality he had. You know, sometimes his fitness levels probably weren't there, but his quality just stood out a million miles. It really did. Some of the things I've seen him do on a football pitch, you know, I'm not saying he was naturally gifted, skillful player, but he was just so clever and inventive going forward that he was someone that I looked at and tried to base certain parts of my game on.
You replaced him for your England cap, didn't you, against the Czech Republic. Was that the pinnacle of your career, would you say, playing for England?
Yeah, it was. You know, I think you look at the prime things that stand out in your career, and obviously my debut and for Villa was playing for the club that I supported. But to put that shirt on with the three lions on and represent your country, there's no better honour.
I was looking at Glenn Hoddle's chart. That was some team, Beckham, yeah. The whole lot.
I know, it's crazy, and to think that I was branded in that category of players, you know, sometimes I do have to pinch myself, because, you know, people did say, you know, what a fabulous player was. I still felt that I didn't achieve as much as what on my personal note that I could have done, for many reasons. But to think that I was playing with the likes of Beckham and the big hitters at the time was massive, Rob. It really was. And, you know, to say that I've got an England cap, you know, I love the fact that I have got an England cap. But the frustrating thing is that I'm in that one cap wonder group, which really, really annoys me. Just on a personal note, not taking anything away that I've represented my country one time. But, you know, I do feel that I should have gone on and get a lot more, especially from the kind comments that Glenn and John Gorman gave me when I first made my debut.
Just run a few quickly for you. Best player you played against?
Patrick Vieira, by a million miles. He was a man mountain of a player. I mean, when they had the Invincibles, he was immense. Thierry Henry was a fabulous player, but coming up against a one-on-one battle with Vieira, box-to-box, fit, strong, a lot bigger than me. and I couldn't get near him. I really couldn't. He was an absolute, honestly, delight to play against. And what a player he really was. You know, when you're coming up against big players like that, you realise that they are world-class players.
Best player you played with?
I can never get away from playing with Yorkie. I love playing with Dwight. You know, I come in the team as a youngster, and there's nothing better than playing into, as I said, I like to play on the front foot, spin it round the corner. There's nothing better than having a striker where you can hit a half bad one and he can make it good. And that's what Yorkie was so good at. He was strong, skillful. He'd bring you into play. You could have the little combination play, which I love doing. He was brilliant. So skillful, scored goals, and no wonder he went on to play for Man U.
God, I bet that was a quiet night out, wasn't it?
No, it'd be because he deserved it. The work he'd been trained.
Don't worry, I was going to say, I bet that was a quiet night out, wasn't it? Dwight York and a few of those boys.
What, on a night out?
That's a good team. Hey, by the way, good lineup for a night out, that.
I know it was. Well, Bozzy, Yorkie and Hugo, God bless his soul, you know, they looked after the likes of myself, take me out to Liberty's back in the day, and trust me, I was always hovering around, see what they were just going to lay down for me. You know what I mean? I said Yorkie was good at bringing me into play. Well, he used to do that. The youngster used to drop me down. The birds are bouncing off him.
Brilliant. Tell me, do you know what? This is the greatest goal that nobody's ever seen, although they have seen it. For Monica Starr against Alton Royal. No, listen, for people watching this, this is a Ibrahimovic against England over Joe Hart. Explain what this is all about.
Well, I play on a Sunday for a well known team in Birmingham. My dad's best mate's the manager, and he got me to go and have a game from when I'd sort of finished over 35, obviously, and I loved it. I really did. We had some great sort of non-league players in there. And then before we know it, Lee Carsley signed, myself, Darren Byfield signed, and Luke Rogers has recently signed. But that season, we went on to, which has never been done, we went and won the quadruple, it's massive in Sunday football. It really was. We won all the trophies, first time that we'd done it. And that cup final, obviously, was one of the games that we went on to win the quad. So, the goal and the game was, I mean, it was a superb game. Yeah, I think you can get the full game.
Tell us about the goal. Come on.
Well, I mean, it was sort of a long ball. I mean, Devlin was playing up top, actually, it was sort of a long direct ball from the brother-in-law who plays and been sort of headed back. And I'm a good, probably 30 yards out, maybe.
About 130 yards out.
It's a good way out. And I kept thinking that the goalkeeper, I used to play against him when I was as a kid. Cooksey, he was in goal. And I kept looking at him and I was thinking, he's off his line. I was just waiting for a time where I could go to get it down and zing one at him. And it just happened to be that the ball took, because it went so high in the air, I just had a quick glimpse over at him. And I thought, I'm hitting this first time. But rather than volley on I went inside of the boot. And I've hit it. It's just connected perfect. It really has. From the distance, it's dropped down. And as soon as I hit it, I knew it was in because I knew he was off his line. And it just bounced and hit the roof of the net. And, I mean, the celebrations on the side.